Welcome to Black Girl in CLE, the podcast. I am your host, Shayna Black, and in each episode, my special guest and I will talk about local events, the topic of access in Cleveland, and sometimes we'll just talk about some cool people who are doing cool things in the greater Cleveland area. I'll introduce you to this week's guest right after this. Welcome to the Black Girl in CLE podcast. I am your host, as always, Shayna Black, and this is a very special episode for me. We're talking about one of my favorite things of entrepreneurship with one of my favorite people to talk entrepreneurship with. I'm going to let you introduce yourself. Go ahead. Tell
Good afternoon. I'm honored to be here, too. Let's say that. This is James Muhammad, the owner and operator of Capo Steaks at 10509 St. Clair. Been in business for 10 years, and I'm just excited about, as Shayna is, about being here. So I'm glad to be here.
So we met, I want to say August.
It was right? August. It was
and
August,
so
yeah.
So now it's November, just for frame of reference, almost Thanksgiving. And we've only known each other, I think we've only had like three conversations.
But it was so familiar. It was like we knew each other for years because the energy was same.
Right.
The energy was just like amazing. I'm like, yeah, this sister really is on her business. And she's really passionate about entrepreneurship. So I was like, that turned my light on.
Yeah. And so the funny thing about it was, and I don't know if I told you that, I met you because I was supposed to interview you for a project. Mm-hmm. And at one point in the project, I'm like, forget the interview. We just going to talk.
And we chopped it up, yeah.
We just chopped it up. Like, I closed the book. Like, I don't even have a quote. Like, yeah, I'll figure out how to make this work later. We're just going to go ahead and have a conversation. But what you don't know is, next door is Conscious Consultant, which you met Shayla. And one of my other homies, Sam from Renegade Soul, who often sponsors the podcast, we have been having this conversation. And we're like, man, who is this person that's just going to be the one that inspire us? And so we always talk about the Matrix, which I think I told you about.
Yeah, you did.
And so we go through if this is Morpheus and you're Neo, who's the Oracle? Wow. And so that was a conversation we had. And so I left your spot and I had to get gas. I was on 105 getting gas. And I'm like calling, I'm like, I found the Oracle.
That's funny. That's
and they're
fine.
Like, did you? I'm like, oh my gosh. That's and fine. So the whole ride back here to the office was like the conversation we just had. He's like, look at this book. Sam was like, ordered it. And so like that's been this whole process of like this conversation. And even fast forward, our last conversation just kind of, you said, I was funny. I was thinking about you. And I'm like, I don't even know why I'm here today.
That's funny. Your thought travels.
It did. Because I had actually just come from buying lunch.
See?
And I was like, well, let me just stop over here. I didn't have your food that day.
Right.
And that was the other thing. And everybody else in that project, if they were some kind of food business, like I ate their food. Like, I'd be honored if you had our food or I brought you a cake or like, somebody brought me a whole cake, like a whole ass cake. A bunch of cakes. I'm like, okay. Love her to death. And so I was like, wow. And I remember driving off saying, wow, he didn't feed me. I was like, nope, but I got fed. And I was like, ooh.
I remember that. I do remember that, you know, and it's funny. We sat there and talked like you had already eaten. If you remember, we were just sitting there
chatting. 2 hours.
Yeah, and we just kept. But I think what it was is the passion and the energy of what we do and what we like to do, that comes across. And it's always good to have people with kindred spirits like that, because you're like, wow, she's passionate. And I'm always the one they say, oh, man, you know, you lifted me up. I thought about something, but you lifted me up that day, because people have a way, God had, or the spirit or whatever, the universe has a way of sending people to you just when you need it, when you need that uplift. And that day it was like, she's so lit. You know what I mean? You're so lit. Like, what's good? So that was a beautiful
thing.
It
was just one of those. And I had just said before I left here, I think I was telling Shayla next door, because I was doing something. It was midday and I was here. And I said, man, I don't want to go. And you had forgotten. And I said, either this is going to be just a really awful thing because I don't want to go. I said, or something amazing is about to happen. And so I'm like, let me just go. And that's why I called you, because I was waiting for you to be like, no, I can't come that day, like reschedule. Because you had forgotten, remember?
I forgot, but I didn't.
And for so you're like, no, it's fine. Just come. And I'm like, okay, just come.
Nah. You know, my thing of it is, it's funny you say that, because I think you understand this more than most, because you are passionate. And the passion is what's going to keep you trying to learn more. That's learn more about what you're doing. That's going to keep you. That's going to maintain you for all those rough days, those ebbs and flows of business. It's going to be, why did you do this? What is your point of doing this? What is your What are you trying to achieve here? And when you look at how much you put into it, you almost forget about. So it's easy to live in the moment of, why don't I have this, or why don't I do this? And you just have to say, no, that's not what I'm here for. And people will send you, God will send people to you to motivate you about your own purpose. Yeah. You know, in that particular, every day you can't be lit. So right. You don't have to send other people. And you'll be like, man, Shayna really, you know, and I'm just meeting her. She really had a spirit, and that spirit, never lose that spirit. Thanks. Yeah, never lose that spirit.
Thank you. I think, let me just start. How did you get started as an entrepreneur? Like, did you just grow up like one day?
Or nah,
did
you always, job loss? No, it was neither, because I used to hear the excuses. And I'm glad, because I always feel like I could be frank with you. I used to hear the excuses when I was little that we would always hear black people can't do this. Why black people can't get it together? Or, and here's another part of it. Oh, that won't work. That won't, very negative. Mm-hmm. That won't work here. And I'm like, everybody else come to our neighborhood and get money. Mm-hmm. They take care of their families and go somewhere else. Why? What's the holdback? And you go along with it when you're young because you're hearing it from people you kind of respect. And then you look up and say, oh, they got bit by the same dog as I'm about to get bit by, because they bought into the failure or the lack of achievement or the lack of knowledge and how to get it. So it was always about, nah, I can't help people if I'm sitting here clocking in with somebody else. Now, there's nothing wrong with a job, but I try to be the type of person where if you're around me, we're going to grow. Before I opened up my cheese, and I've been in business 10 years in the cheesesteak restaurant business, but I was roasting coffee, and I wanted to learn. I thought that was the coolest thing, to roast coffee. It was a black guy, Greg Stives. He's still like my brother, close friend in Chicago, who taught me to roast, and that kind of opened the door for the restaurant business. But I didn't want to roast in Chicago. We would have never met. I didn't even want to roast in Chicago because I didn't want to be his competition.
Right.
So that's just how I am. Right, I'm like, right. The earth is big. I'm not going to sit over here
and
start on the same block and start doing, come on. So, but it taught me a lot. And then I had a food truck in the projects in Chicago. Since then, they tore down all the projects. Randolph Towers on 63rd and Calumet on the south side.
Are you
and
from Chicago?
No, I was born here and left when I was 14, went to high school in the Philadelphia area.
Okay.
And then moved to Chicago, met my wife in Nashville, Tennessee. She's from Chicago. So it was either go to back to Philadelphia, open up. I always wanted a cheesesteak shop since I was 19.
Okay.
Go back to Philadelphia with my wife, or go to Chicago. Never lived in, long story, but I never lived in Chicago. Loved Chicago when I would go. And we went, just fell in love with it. Because it was black people really getting it. Now it's a whole lot, you hear a lot of nonsense about Chicago's this, Chicago's that. Chicago's always been like that.
Right.
But there's a lot of great achievement among black people there.
Okay. So tell me about your food truck business. I interrupted you.
I had a food truck. Like 2003, 2004.
Was it cheesesteaks?
No, we didn't have cheesesteaks on it, believe it or not. We used to cook the corned beef. It was on a true story. Cook the corned beef. Because at first, it did not start off as I wanted a cheesesteak shop. I wanted one since I was young, but I didn't. Like, hold on, now I'm looking at the numbers. I really wanted to do a corned beef shop in Chicago. And I worked with a corned beef guy, Kenny Batee of AP Deli. He's still there. Got about 7 or 8 locations. And I learned it. And everybody would say that to me when I was on the food truck. Like, the best experience is to go into a restaurant and work for a restaurant. And I say that to anybody. Whoever wants to do whatever you do, work for somebody, intern, get around people. If you got to work for free. And the game, he gave me a little bit of money. It wasn't a lot of money I was getting paid, but it was immeasurable. Because, look, I saw the game, how to manage, how to cook, how to do everything. So it gave me the vision on what to do for myself. You know what I mean?
Very cool. So I heard you say, like, I was going to do this, but then I looked at the numbers. I feel like many people don't look at the numbers. They just go by, I like to do this, therefore I'm going to do this, without looking at the numbers. Would you say that's a common mistake, or it's a good first start, but something else needs to happen?
I think you have to look at, if that's what you want to do, you have to look at everything from a numbers point of view, because that's what's going to drive you. You got to remember, if it's your passion, you'll figure a way out. You'll figure a way to do it, as far as, okay, the numbers may not be that, and it might cost me more to do this, but how do I figure out getting it first?
Yeah.
So you have to, like, in the food business, this is why a lot of people say, why don't you have more on the item? Everything in my on my item is interchangeable twice. Okay. My bread and everything else. So I'm not sitting here waiting for one person to come get one item. Everything is interchangeable. That's not a specialty item. So that's why I started with the cheesesteak, because, and that's just how you do it. That's my feature. That's my signature. So I think the numbers are very important. Now, that shouldn't detour you from what you really want to do, but you just have to know what you're doing, or you have to go in. Don't go in and say, oh, I thought it was going to, you know, you hear somebody been in business 3-4 years. One of my favorite shows is The Profit with Marcus Lemonis, and people be doing this stuff 10, 15 years, and you don't know the margins. You don't know how much you're making on that sandwich. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I'm like, we can't make mistakes like that in the hood, or you gone in 3 months.
Right.
And I'm proud of the fact, God willing, it'd be 2 years in this location in May, and I've been in Cleveland for going on almost 6 years. It'd be almost 6 years in May. But I was on Superior, and I was learning that. Didn't make a lot of money, but I made enough to pay the bills, to keep the door. But it turned, so when the opportunity opened up for me to move to where I'm at, I was like, oh, I'm ready. I know my margins. I know what it's going to take. So if you don't have that, you can have, it'd be a pipe dream. And like, you know how many people going, oh, I always wanted to do, I always wanted to cook and open up. Okay. That energy is going to be gone in about 3 months if you don't know what you're doing. Because if you don't have, bring order to it with the numbers, you won't know where to put your energy. And you might be putting your energy in something totally that's a felon when you could have been putting it on this. So
I think also the why, like, why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. I always wanted to. That's great. But maybe you don't know the numbers. And you said, then you're going to stop. But if you have a good enough why, I believe if you have a good enough why, it'll keep you going.
Absolutely.
It'll help you figure it out because you're not going to quit.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I have a friend, and they're running this business, and you know, I want to do this because I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to make a lot of money, and you know,
we all do,
but we all hit hard times.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, Shayla says, you know, like, it might make you want to hurt yourself some days, like if you're not in a good spot. Nah. You know, like, you, because if you put all you're in on it, especially for black businesses that don't have finance options, like, you all in.
Oh,
and so the idea was that person, I'm like, what's your why? I just want to make a lot of money. Your why is not going to sustain you.
No.
Like, my why is, like, I need my kids to be able to have an option to work.
Say that.
So if they want a job, go get a job. If not, let's come do the family business and you be CEO of a company that mom
Well,
wants.
You're better than that because you're a woman and you're a nurturer. Mine have to work. And my 16 and 14-year-old, when they ask for money, they have to be there on Saturdays. Right. They have
but
to
mine
work.
Have yeah. their, like, my daughter has a job.
See.
But I don't want the economy to dictate her earnings.
Yeah, there you are.
So if
Absolutely.
Her company lays her off at 30 years old or she just... I don't want her stressing in no they job. Come back to work. It's like crushing your soul.
Absolutely.
She still got a place.
Absolutely.
As opposed to, you know, like my family told me, you just stay in the job. It ain't about loving it. It's what you do. You work your 30 years, you retire, and then you enjoy life. And I'm like, there's too much to do between now and retirement.
And things change. I think all of our parents, I'm 51, all of our parents had that. They didn't have a choice and an option because they came, a lot of us come from the South. You got to remember, it was a different time. Cleveland's still a segregated city to some degree. So imagine how overt it was then. Mm-hmm. So it was just like, so they worked hard for us to have this kind of conversation.
Absolutely.
For us to have entrepreneurship. Yep. And so that's real. But like you said, I hustle for my first name. I don't hustle for my first name. I hustle for my last name. So I don't do it just for me. Because if it was just for me, we probably never would have met. I'd probably still been in Chicago, roasted coffee or open up something. But nah, it was meant to come here because I don't like the fact that everybody around the country is hard on Cleveland. Cleveland's a beautiful place. A lot of opportunity are coming. And it's funny how it's a dichotomy where white Cleveland has a different view than black Cleveland. We tend to be a little bit more depressed as far as where we're going in the city in black Cleveland, but white Cleveland's blowing up.
So it's funny you say that. Danielle Sidnor did the keynote at the Black Entrepreneurship
That's
Summit.
My sister.
Yes, and she said something that you kind of said too, and I was going to circle back to that. She's telling the story about when her boy started the soap. She said, and as she was doing this, there were people like, ain't nobody going to buy that soap, $7. I mean, you can just do, she said, and then I told some other friends, white Cleveland, and they were like, let me connect you with someone. And that idea and that conversation of when you first started, you said, there's so many of us that were ingrained with, you don't want to try that. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And that kind of negative thought process. And so I had a conversation yesterday. I said, part of it is, it's not that it's a negative conversation. I said, but all of those things probably were, she didn't ask for that. She didn't say like, hey, do you think I should start soap? She said, hey, we're doing this thing at home, me and the boys.
Yeah.
And someone gave that advice that no one asked you for.
Well, you know, and now so you tell, you teaching, we you teach. No, no, you teaching. Thing. You are teaching. Let me tell you, you have just hit, man, you just hit the head. Let me tell you something about that. That, and now that's the bigger issue. Before you get down to what you want to do, everybody says, oh, I want to work for myself. I want to do this. I don't want to work for the man. I don't want to work for the white man. I don't want to do this. All of that. Okay, what do you want to do? Are you prepared to do? And then you have to be big enough and have big enough shoulders to understand the injuries of our people, the trauma,
yep,
the self-hatred. You have to understand. So it's, if you're in the hood, not that you're trying to be a minister, but it's almost a form of ministry. Mm-hmm. Because you have to know the people you're going to service, that's going to come out of them. Now, no one's going to say, hey, James, hey, Shayna, I'm jealous of you having a business.
Right.
They're never going to stand on the fact that, yo, how you get it? So it comes out another way. We just don't know how to say it. Oh, that's just some sickness. We all good. Thank you, but no thank you.
Right.
You don't want to be it's a sister who was, she didn't know how to say, you know, I really like this. I really like your food. But I like olives on mine. Oh, you know, you should have olives. I said, sis, I haven't had olives ever. And Subway does that. And I just don't carry olives. It's food. We don't have enough people. You're probably the second person ever to ever ask for olives. But they're so good and I want them. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And just the venom.
It's deep. And so, Shayna, when I'm sitting here, she's, no, but you should have. And then I said, it would take probably about 100 people to come in here, maybe 5 a week, and say, hey, I need some olives. And I'll start carrying it. Just like I have people, 2 people ask for vinegar. I got a box of vinegar, and nobody asks for it anymore. So it's the only way to make money in business: increase sales, decrease costs. But we have that. So it's funny, the mentality, because I remember when I was getting into business, it was a Jamaican guy, JR's on 80th and Ashland, and I would go in humbly, spending money, but ask questions. How would I get a hood if I wanted that? Roy, oh man, we can get you a hood. It was a respect and a humility, because I'm respecting your grind, my dude. And I want to learn something. Like, what do I need to do? So this arrogance, but this ignorance at the same time is like, that's enough. But that's the reason why we have to say Black Cleveland or this and that, because the inferiority complex is real.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this conversation when, I won't say their name.
Mm-hmm.
But they went all the way out to the white suburbs. And see, we got to understand that this is not racist, but it's racial. There's a reason why those communities excel.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's rules.
Yep.
They only want certain type of people in there. To add, they're looking at it and saying, we don't want just anything in here.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to pay more or whatever. So we think, okay, I'm going to take my business that's making decent money in the hood, and I'm going to go there. And I've heard people say, oh, James, your cheesesteak would do well. I know my demographic. I'm proud to be among Black people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud to employ Black people. And white money spend like Black money.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying business is business. You go where the money is.
Right.
So, but they were selling soul food, for lack of a better word.
Okay.
Getting rung through with the rent and the overhead. A lot of money spent. Now they're gone.
Right.
Because in that community, knowing that demographic, you people are not, let's just be realistic, it's still a segregated area. So you're out in Shaker Heights, you're not even Shaker, Shaker's very diverse. The University Heights.
It's like Beechwood or something.
Beechwood, and you're selling soulful. It might go all right, but when they start seeing Black faces lining up,
mm-hmm,
standing outside for food, yeah, see, no matter how well maybe 10, 15% of the people who live in that support you, they start seeing Black. They get threatened. That's real. That's just racist, mm-hmm, America. That's what the America we grew up in, we understand. That's the common theme around the world. Now, if you're going to get, or around the country, if you're going to do business, know your demographic. I have no problem being among my people, but I know what goes into it. Do I get stressed out? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm human. Do I get upset? But I refuse to lie to you. I refuse. You have to be firm with our people, but you have to be loving, because if you run from them, if you're too soft, they'll run over you. If right. you're too firm, they'll run from you. So it's a love there, but everybody show love. I love all my customers, and I get probably 10, 15% of people from different communities, but we have to have that. And what you're speaking of, not to be sounding so wordy, is the self-hatred. Mm-hmm. So our hoods are not having problems because we're just in love with each other.
Right.
So, you know, from a business point of view, you want to put a business there, but you're like, hold up.
Right.
Let me make sure I know what I'm doing here.
I'm going to be safe here. We ain't going to get robbed every day.
We got to make sure, literally, that it's secure wherever we start. How am I going to handle security?
Right.
For real. So that's true, but let's deal with the self-hatred. Let's deal with that in order so we can improve it, or we're going to have this conversation 20 years later.
Right. I think the other piece is the idea that when people go and deal with white Cleveland, because, you know, white Cleveland might love your food and they support, mm-hmm. then we're still quick to change and say, oh, well, now you done switched on us, no matter where you are. Yeah. And I think part of that, though, is, and I always tell the story, if it wasn't for white Cleveland, I wouldn't be here to talk to you today, because mm-hmm. black folks hated Black Girl and Sealy. They really? Didn't like the name. They didn't support it. You doing that white people stuff. I say that all the time. There's some that did support, but there was so much really? Backlash. I heard your name is racist because it's Black Girl. Maybe you should call it African American.
But that's the psychosis of, yes. of our people. That's like, I thought, now in common sense, you would think our people would be the biggest supporters.
I did too. I mean, that's what it was started for. Like, we have people that don't know what's happening, and white Cleveland's blowing up, and we don't get catered to. Like, we just keep hearing about the VSP lounges.
Yeah.
And people flying in from all over to talk about how great Cleveland is, and we as Clevelanders aren't engaging in our own
we're
city.
Not, me and my girl Donna Dabbs over yes. at, that's my girl, man. She was the man. She, funny story, she was, I think I told you, she worked with my mom 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So in my opening over there, I'm like, Donna, there go my mom, and she, oh my God, you know, so, but Donna said the same thing. But if you look at how a lot of people like yourself, Donna, carry themselves, Danielle, sisters, and I want to touch on that too, because a lot of times people may think just because of, and I've been married 24 years, I want to give a shout out to the thorough, persistent, classy Black women, particularly in Cleveland and in Chicago, because my girl Carolyn Smith over at Famico, it was sisters who was like, that brother doing something. Try this. So I'm not, see, I'm the one who looks at the glass being half full mm-hmm. rather than half empty. Mm-hmm. So I'm not one of these brothers, oh man, the sisters, because that's some stuff, some male, female stuff we dealing with in our communities. But if it was not for sisters, you know, starting with, let's say, Donna, and then with yourself as of today, I wouldn't be where I'm in today. If it wasn't for my, first and foremost, my beautiful wife, mm-hmm. being able to listen and be like, yeah, that's what you do. You know what I mean? Because it was just me in Chicago. I hired a few people. It was me on Superior. So it was Black women who totally supported and saw. So that's what, we don't give a lot of love. And I want to say that because we could talk about the criticism, but it's sisters like yourself who are doing it. And that's just how we get our stripes, dealing with our people and understanding. Don't get into the argument. Understand what it is and the psychosis, the problem, and we have to go from there. And we have to teach on that.
Right.
We have to teach that our girls are nurturers and our women have the ability to do it, and they don't have to compete with other men. We have to teach our men the same exact thing and understand roles rather than this big competition, because that's what you're seeing. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. all you're seeing. Like, but I'm not surprised, though, Shayna, that white Cleveland would mm-hmm. You know why I'm not surprised? They've had a big head start, mm-hmm. and they know how to capitalize on division. Mm-hmm. So when something goes down, let me call Shayna. Mm-hmm. So, and we're not strong enough because we have our issues with one another. Well, we can say, oh, white Cleveland's doing well. Mm-hmm. Well, whoa. And sisters are probably, 55 to 60% of the buying power now. So the reality of it is I'm never surprised, because they got through all their little sickness and illness, and now they can, oh, now we're civilized and we want you over here. Well, before, these are the same grandsons and granddaughters who said, we don't want them Negroes nowhere around us.
Mm-hmm. Stay in our neighborhood.
Right, in our neighborhood.
We still have
to deal with that. So you better do business, but understand the inferiority complex and the superiority complex.
Right, right.
And but, you know, for us who know, if it wasn't for sisters, come on, man. If it wasn't for sisters, and I'm not no simp. That's why a lot of sisters, like, you be hard. Because I told my guys, I'm bougie to a hood rat. I'm bougie. I'm from the hood. Like, I'm bougie to a hood rat. But the thing about it is, fly sisters who are doing their business, man, that just shows you how we can work and get things together. If it wasn't for, shout out to ECDI, my girl Danielle, and Carolyn turned them on to him. And like, nah, you got to talk to my dude over here. And that's how we got on New Day Cleveland.
Nice.
It was sisters.
Right.
It was black women who was about the business, no matter what you say or do. And that's what we have to really focus on. We need to deal with how we going to build a black girl. You know what I mean? We need to deal with that because that needs to happen. But here, that's a deeper issue because you're dealing with that knowledge of self, and really we see more value in not working together. Mm-hmm. And I can get into that. I was telling my guys about that. There's a reason for that. Mm-hmm. That it's in our community, but yeah. 95% of it, the problem is we can deal with all of our problems, 95%. But there's 5% or 10%, if you will, that the reason why, there's a reason why Cleveland doesn't have trains. Mm-hmm. We think, oh, why wouldn't they have it? That would be smart. There's a reason why certain things, that's running a government, running a city. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So
I think there's a space where people kind of have to stop being consumers of stuff. To see the system. So, you know, whereas you look at, like, you being where you are, where I am, and how things run, if you understand the system and take the step back, it doesn't have to be like, oh, you about this. Because it would make sense when you kind of look behind the curtain. And we're so used to, I always say, just with the Facebook and the kind of, like, of being the distraction. So it's one thing to say, like, I like podcasts. It's another thing to understand how podcasts work from the other side.
I think that's
part of that system. And so, you know, I hear business people always say, it's not black or white, it's about green. And for some people, they don't even get that. Like, no, I don't. It has to always be black. Or it has to always be this. And I've heard some like, it's going to be black. And I'm like, I'm going to go through any door of opportunity that's going
to
help.
Yeah, I think in business, you have to usurp any type of way to find that. Because it's a business. You're in a bring. So the thing about it, it's a matter of the person who is black changes whatever they're doing. But if you're black, hey, that's a voice for us. That's a voice for the community. That's a voice if they're in the white community. I don't push white people away who come in my bill for what? I mean, I don't stop holding stuff on my, everybody know who I am with my posters on the wall, with my pictures with people. But at the end of the day, they get the same civility as anybody else. I think we care too much about that because we're over moral. Overly civilized, where I think I could care less. I'm going to make my point. I don't think we have to be disrespectful or ignorant towards anybody, but I think the problem of it is, and I'm glad you said that, it's a deeper problem. And a deeper problem for so long, and this is the part of growing up black in America, we don't see the opportunity of what it is. And a lot of times, the dominant society has always been like, we only need one of them. Mm. We only need one black person, and we only need, so then Negroes get the token, so then we have the special Negro. I did it. Well, hey, the world don't revolve around you only.
Right.
Everybody's situation is different. And then here's the thing we was talking about yesterday. We don't own this country. Mm-hmm. I had an argument with a brother who's a very established attorney down in Atlanta. He's done some legal work. As well as he's done, bought cars, got property. He said, well, this ain't our system, though. Then I said, see, you think I'm talking about buying into white supremacy. I'm not. Our people fought, bled, and died. We built this country. And we have to teach our children, forget the white supremacy. Cleveland is our city. Black people built that. If we take the mentality of this is our country, and I'm not one of these flag-waving, whatever. I respect the country. It's our country. We would have more of a respect as a form of ownership in the possibilities here. rather than be the problem, we have to go in and say, no, I grew up in this neighborhood. I want to buy these houses. Right. And I could go buy 10 houses somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But we have to take that in a certain mentality. Like I got on a young man in my other store one time. He threw a bag of garbage right in front of my door. I said, would you do that in Shaker? And his sister said, get that up. But me and him about to get into it. If you don't pick this up, but by remote control, you know when you're driving out Fairmont Boulevard, mm-hmm. you ain't going to throw that outside on Fairmont right. Boulevard. You know that because you respect it. Mm-hmm. We don't respect it. So that's the real issue why we don't respect the hood, because it goes back to the things we've been taught and it keeps being passed down in family. Just because it's your mom or your daddy don't mean it's right. Mm-hmm. So we have to deal with a lot of other stuff on top of do business.
So... Let's think about what we're going to do. I know, you got me on my soapbox.
No, come on now.
And it's perfect because one of the things I like to do when I'm not writing for Black Girl or doing things is help people that get started. So entrepreneurs get started. And like you said, there's a whirlwind of stuff that comes at them.
Mm-hmm.
And a whirlwind of opinions that were unsolicited.
Right.
And the family got something to say. And so we're going to take a break and come back to that. We're going to talk about things for that first person,
yeah.
And we're just going to keep talking, so
yeah.
We'll be right back.
No doubt.
Be Ready is the go-to for entrepreneurs looking to start or grow their businesses. With mentorship, coaching, marketing, and web design, Be Ready should be your first stop for resources and strategy. Learn more about Be Ready at www.bereadycle.com. That's www.bereadycle.com.
So, welcome back, and we left off, we were talking about just respect and getting started and all the stuff people have to overcome and the family piece.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you said from the beginning, a lot of times it's not friends saying you shouldn't do that, don't start that business. Sometimes it's family.
Absolutely.
And it might not be like mom, dad, old generation because it's been passed down. So now it's right. Your cousins. And I tell this story a lot. This person probably would hate this story. I know this person, they had a business. They had a great business. The year I met them, they were finishing $1 million a year. Fast forward 2 years later, they don't have that business anymore. But part of it was, their friends were like, oh, we should invest in some stuff together. You know, like, I see what you're doing. And the more they kept trying to invest, and they were about to do something amazing. Like, it hurts my soul that they didn't do this. Like, I still have the graphic and the logos and all that design. Like, I can't bear myself to erase it. And their friends were like, yeah, we're going to do all this. And so the more the friends that they said, they've been my friends since like elementary school. And I'm like, your friends got to change a little bit. Mm, you know, we're going to do this. They kept trying to make it more like, we don't want to be, the person was like, I want it for greater Cleveland, Black, white, whatever Cleveland, all Cleveland can come to this great thing and do this great stuff. And it's business. Right.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, no, maybe we should have it here. And no, let's just do it this way. It almost ended up being like, let's just kind of have a cabaret, not in cabarets, but instead of this great freestanding brick and mortar business, now we kind of doing like cabarets and Yoset. And you know, it just didn't work, and it just kept feeding into all of that. I think like the wife was like, where's your money, why are you doing this, don't invest. And it just started becoming too much. And so the person sat here and was like, problem is, like, for me, I do business with friends. I said, no, I got great friends though. Like the folks, like you said, the sisters I roll with, like, I'm not sitting here like, we should just do some fun stuff. But on the other hand, you know, the idea that it was your peers, your road dogs since I was 11, that really got into your mind and kind of helped unravel that. And so the last time I talked to them, they were like, what I realized was, you know, you just can't be a full-time entrepreneur. You got to have a job. I looked at my friends A, and they said this, and they got a job and have a business, and they got a job, and they got a barbershop, and they got a job. I said, well, you look at your friends, though, and that's what you saw. I said, I look at my friends. And my friends say, don't get the job. Not, you know, just keep trying. You know, like, you almost here.
Yeah, you there.
How can I help you, sis? Those kind of things. I said, so part of that is your friend circle.
Let me say it like this, because you said I can cuss.
Yeah.
Money stop all bullshit. Right. When you start putting money into it, and then the commitment level, and it has to be, we three things we weren't taught coming out of slavery was the science of genetics, the science of war, and the science of business. And those things we study as far as who we're marrying, mm-hmm. who we want in our lives, what we're going to build with, how to protect what we have around us, as well as understanding business is life. So the reality of it is you have people around you. You should never be the smartest person in your circle. And so you have people around you who don't understand it. People come with you when they see you got something popping, they want to attribute with it, but they're not ready a lot of times, because guess what? They will come humble and say, yo, what's this to it? And let's do some real money. See, we have to understand this business. You got to know your demographic. I'm very comfortable with my demographic. My demographic is probably working class, 18 to 35. It's the same demographic McDonald's has.
Right.
Same demographic Riley's has.
Right.
So, and I think you get a better, more healthy, whatever that means, but it's real steak, and we go from there. But, and you can't even listen sometimes to yourself.
Right.
Sometimes you got to be careful to put something out to yourself if you're not ready and you haven't really surrounded your thoughts around it and really threw it up, tossed it around, studied it. So a lot of times we like to say things because a lot of times we're depressed and we want to do something. We want changes. Oh, I want to try this. That feels good just saying it. Nah. So a lot of times you got to be very careful. That's why I don't believe in saying what I'm going to do until I have the power to do it.
Yeah, and also just everybody can't invest in your vision.
It's your vision.
Period. Invest in it mentally, supportive-wise, but even your money. Like, if you needed the $5,000, sometimes that $5,000 got strings attached.
Well, the bank is just like, it's like other people. The bank is like this. You got skin in the game? Let me see what you've done. You filed taxes. You did whatever. It's just a matter of now, this is to someone who has an idea. If you have a point blank, if you have an idea, that's a great thing. You want to move on it. Study it a little bit. Now with all this information on Google, you can literally punch something in and find out about it. Find out what the investment is. If you are passionate about it, you will find a way to get it done, either starting off as a small level, but I will tell people in a minute, don't jump out and just go get a loan.
No, absolutely.
If you haven't gotten the experience, because you may learn 2-3 years into the business, oh, I didn't even need that for that, or that didn't work, but this is working because I've been working it.
And if it's your first business, I don't think you know.
You don't?
Like my first business, when I started Be Ready, what Be Ready is today is totally different than what Be Ready was in 2016.
See?
Because I didn't even have the skill sort to be that. Like, right. I hadn't made a website before.
Come on. I mean? Exactly.
But the idea that I'm a firm believer that when you start a business, you know, you have your naysayers, you have some supportive people, but
right.
You also have people that take advantage because they know that it's your first business. So they'll come at you being like, you need $15,000 of this.
Oh, absolutely. I see what you're saying. Absolutely. And you have to know, you have to be able to decipher between the shit and the sugar.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I know, can you give me this money? Can do how? No, you might not even need it. And that's what's helped me, because I know now, if I was to go wherever, what my margins is to do something and what I need daily and the breakdown and how many sandwiches you need to sell. See, that's a great point. And then you find yourself, there's a guy out in, I don't know what the area, but it was all the way out east, I want to say in the Wilson Mills area. Literally, the dude went over there, and when I first got here, he had a burger joint. It was a beer, a bar, and it was empty. Got $250,000 loan. They gave it to him. Ooh. $250,000. So, 11 months later, it was closed.
Right?
Oh yeah. So, you know, that could cause a lot of problems with the house and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so the main thing of it is, that's why I say, what's your purpose? Is it something that you wanted to do and you really want to do it and you're going to ride with it? And how does it affect as a provider, producer, and protector, as a father, a husband? How is that going to affect my family?
Right.
So when I have that vision, this is not just about me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's the game is different.
And
different playing field.
That's the why.
That's the why.
As in, I can't. I got to move a certain way because, like, in 2016 when I started, I'm like, oh, I'm going to start a business. Yay, it's going to be fun. And all the things that they show you on Instagram.
Yeah.
But my kids are high schoolers. Like, they're going off to college. So I got to make margins. I got to do. I can't just be like, we're going to just try this thing.
Nah.
You know, my daughter's like, am I going to college?
Right.
And I have to be able to have those kind of things. And so you best believe, just by her becoming closer to college, it made me step up my why.
Come on,
my game.
There it is.
Not saying I wouldn't have anyway.
But that's just your intelligence.
Right.
That's just your intelligence. But like, I can't sacrifice. Now if I'm single, that's different.
Right.
But now I know what the level.
Taking care of mom.
Come on. Come on.
Like,
come on. Exactly.
I read a book. The author was just here. Her name is Nathalie Molino Nino. We did a whole episode on her book called Leapfrog, and it's about women of color specifically in business. And she says, you know, many businesses, while we have this fancy title called B Corp, like, we're going to do social good. Most of businesses of color are B Corps because they're doing for the family. It's not like, I'm just going to start a business and invest millions of dollars and buy a jet. Like, I'm trying to help mom's cancer diagnosis or pay off mom's house or retire grandma, whatever that is.
Absolutely.
And so we all have a why. It's just not like, I just don't want to work anymore. But once you double down on why you have to do this, like, I'm going to be the one to change the game, or whatever that is.
Yeah, or whatever your reason is, I know it's going to be, it has to carry you past the superficiality of it.
Yeah, it has to be.
I just want to go on vacations, because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't want to work a lot, you don't need to have your own business.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to double that up. You're going to be working 60. I'm going to be off for 4 days. I'm going to close down, but I promise you, I will still be working 5 or 6 hours a day, mentally, administratively, and everything else. And if you think you could, y'all got a suite. I told my dude. See, he said, Cabo, what you think about this? Dude, do you know what you want to do? Not really. But stay on your job, bro.
Don't start.
Stay on your job. This is No. Because you got children, and it's not because your wife don't support you. Your wife might see something in you that you ain't followed through in the last 20 years. And now we about to invest in that. So you got to put your energy, your time in something you love and learn yourself. It's okay if you don't know. Learn some stuff.
Yeah. And you know, it's one of those, I tell people all the time, like, you don't have to quit your job.
No, you don't.
So there's people that come in here with an idea. And it's funny because the girl next door, she has a program. It's called Exit Strategy. So, like, for people that have gotten to the point, you're ready to start quitting. Like, here's what needs to happen in the next
stillaway program. You kind of still in the way.
Like, here's what needs to be in place in 90 days before you just quit. Now, if you're someone that can't find a job, absolutely start a business. Or if you're someone that is in an awful situation at work and you're about to walk out anyway, okay, start a business.
Right.
But if you're in a decent spot, don't just quit. And so we have this kind of, I want to quit because I can spend more time. But if you're not doing the right thing and you don't have a discipline, you're going to be right back where you are. Because to me, we have a conversation. Jobs are easy. Like, when things get hard, I'm like, I should just get a job. And I had a conversation. I said, isn't it funny when things get hard, I'm like, I should get a job, which means the jobs are easier.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I work my 40 hours. That's deep. I can talk about the Browns game or the Cavs game.
I got time. I punch out. I'm right.
Yeah, I can do a little shopping online.
Like I said, I never got a loan. I would have took a loan. But in all my three cheesesteak shops, I never took a loan. And like you said, it's not really like who's going to – I'm 51 years old, so I have to grind every day.
Yeah.
So the reality of it is who's going to hire a 51-year-old black man named Muhammad? You know what I mean? So not that I'm opposed. I'll shovel horse manure to take care of my babies. But the bigger picture is this is what you've been blessed with. God is blessing you with it. You have to secure your blessing and know your purpose. So I don't play with it. It's real. Now, for people who work for you, they can get it. But if they don't have skin, they get it. Like, I have a cousin. He's like a mirror of me. I can literally leave and sit here and talk to you because I trust him.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you have to be able to trust people. And then on top of that, or trust someone, not just one person who can look out and understand your interest, who understands the skin in the game. Because they're never going to really understand the skin in the game because it's not their vision.
Right. And again, you got to, before you quit, because I had someone sitting here and I'm like, here's how you do it. She came in with, for lack of a better word, an awful idea. And I can make fun of that now because she's still a client and she's a friend. Like, I'm just going to do this. And it was almost like the side hustle. I'm just going to make cakes and sell them at the hairdresser. And that's my business. And I'm like, okay. I said, what's your other idea? Because I got all the ideas. And she's like, I can start this business.
You funny.
That's what she said. I got all these ideas. She sat down right where you are. And I'm like, okay. I said, what's your other idea? Because I get cakes, but that's not like a sustainable business. Like, you're not going to, I'm going to pay off my student loans with that. I'm like, not with these cakes.
No.
And so, at the holiday time.
Man.
So then she says, well, I got a master's degree in this. I have all this knowledge. I can do this, a nonprofit this, and I can start this, and I can do grant writing.
Well, she just wants you to listen. She just wants you to listen.
And I was like, that's the thing. Like, forget these cakes. Let's unpack that. So we unpack it. And she starts realizing, like, if I write grants, I can charge a percentage. You know, that's way more than one cake. If I do this, and so all of a sudden she started seeing how numbers could come in. Like, I can make $100 here, $1,000 here. I could quit my job. I'm like, stop. 5 minutes ago, you were selling cakes. do not go out today.
Scatterbrain. We do
and
that.
And be like, I'm going to quit my job today. No. Now, people do, and Steve Harvey tells all the time. He did, but it cost him everything.
Everything.
But that's just some people's journey. You got to trust your process.
Well, you know what? Eddie Murphy said this. And he said, I don't know if he says it to this day, but I remember, because that was my dude when I was growing up. Everybody wanted to be Eddie Murphy. And if you wasn't there, you wanted to be as cool as Eddie Murphy. And they wasn't showing too many dog brothers like that
right
on TV. So it was like, man, Eddie funny, Eddie getting the women, whoa, 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 whoa. And he says, I don't have a plan B. That means it takes away from the energy from plan A.
Yep.
So like you said, it's the journey for plan A. My thing of it is, you're learning in the process. And you just have to first have the ability or the capacity to want to do something, to do it. You will figure it out. And that sounds real, I know that sounds real pseudo spooky, but it's not. It's like, it will consume you. It could, cheesesteak business consumes me. I loved it. I literally love being able to serve something, particularly to an underserved community.
Absolutely.
With people who are trying everything else and people not in our community. So it means more. That's why my man said to me the other day, it's funny, but this is how a lot of our people feel. Come on, man. We know about them, but you black. You know how we do.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, that's about how we think, though.
Yeah.
Like we deal with them because we got to deal with them, and they offering services, but they don't mess. We know they don't mess with us, but I got a shot with them. But you capo. See, you see? Mm-hmm. But that's cool, but now I'm going to hold you to the same standard.
Right.
I'm going to hold you to the same standard when you out there. Man, respect that man's business. Yeah. And I mean, don't go in there trying to do nothing. Mm-hmm. Don't be trying to be in there on no extra shit. Don't go in there looking for the hookup. Show that man the same respect. That's a nice spot. You know what I mean? Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm looking, okay, that's cool, because I'm coming at you and you my people. But at the end of the day, give me that same respect. So it's funny because you're dealing, like I said, it's the psychosis. See, the other dominant society has that, just let's just do business. Mm-hmm. And let's get marketing. I can go to my uncle in some cases. Not all of them have money. And write a check. And so,
or I can ask my friend's uncle.
Yeah, their friend's uncle. But that comes from years of generations and being developed enough to be civil.
Yes.
They have to work through their sickness. And we've had to be double.
Yep.
And then we put it on you. Girl, don't do that. I was talking to her. Okay, you telling her, don't get no man unless he got money. What you telling her? You telling her
she should be home? And my question is always, do you have a man?
Do you have
a man at all?
Do you have a man at all? Like, why would you tell her? You tell her to be a hoe? So when you're married and you hit a bump, you just leave him? Because that's what they do in other communities. When you, they, oh, he's a football player. He's an entertainer. Let me get the money. Okay, now we got problems.
Right.
So, like you said, does it work both ways?
Yeah, we just had a conversation, Shayla and I, about when people try to get business coaches.
It's crazy.
Someone's going to help me build
a website.
That's
funny, ain't it? Is
and
that
I'm
not
like,
funny?
Okay, I'm like, do they have a website? No, but they said they can help me. Why do you want them doing your website?
Why are you know?
Why are you going to that business coach talking about, I can help you make six figures, and they don't make six figures?
You teach it. It's like my father used to tell me years ago. And it's funny because Tupac said it on his album when he was alive. He said, my father used to get off your ass if you want to get rich. But he said, why would you go to somebody who don't have nothing?
Yeah.
And you some trying to get and you go to them to get information from them and they don't have what you have.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? Why would you? Not to say that you can't learn from a bird. I can learn from a parakeet. But if you put yourself around people, and I was always like when I was younger, I would put myself around older people because I'm trying to learn. And that's good, but a lot of times older people could teach you how to be more fearful.
Yes.
A lot of old, they can only relate to their experience, and so they teach you how to be a little bit more cautious and more scared.
Yep.
So you have to be put yourself around
people. Because they remember the heart.
They remember the heart. They don't want it for that. That's really a form of love.
I agree.
Like, I don't want you to be hurt.
They want you to be safe.
But it ain't nothing safe.
I know, but that's what they want.
But that's what they want. We want that as parents.
Right.
Like, absolutely. I was like, I was cringing, but my son got to go. Now, my wife with my son when he moved back to Chicago was like, yo, she was nervous, and your father has a business. He got to go through that, because I remember when I had to go. He got to go through that. Now, I'm going to hold him down. I'm going to help him, even when he don't ask, because he's not going to ask for help.
Right.
But I got you. My daughter, I got you. And my sons, I got you. But at the end of the day, they got to have their own experience. Right. Yep. And we have to get out of our children's way.
Yes.
But now, I'm the same dude now saying it where, okay, remember we had that conversation before? Mm-hmm. Remember you thought I was like killing your idea and your mm-hmm. dream? And I said, did you consider this? Mm-hmm. I didn't say don't do it. Did you consider? You going to consider that now?
Or what's your plan now?
What's your plan? Got to have a plan. So I think that's where we are with a lot of our people. I think we have this thing of we need the awards, we need the rewards or whatever. We love titles. Mm-hmm. That's why everybody's a boss now on social media. I'm like, ugh. They be like, who's the boss in here when they come to the restaurant? Who's asking? Hold up. Let me find out what you're
doing. I might not want to be the boss.
I don't know what you're asking for. You know, I pay my taxes.
There's plenty of times I'm not the boss.
I'm like, what? But then going back to the point you made about 20 minutes ago, a sister came in. Works for the county. Out of a truck. Who owned this? Yeah, this local or franchise. Not, hey, how y'all doing?
Got in front. Introducing yourself?
No, never. And so now when I come back with the, who are you? Like, catch yourself, Mo. I got to, come on, Capo, catch it. Sis, I'll be right with you, okay? I got three people in front of her. Mm-hmm. She want answers now, though. I want answers now. I said, I'll be right with you. Oh, okay. I'm good. Walked off. This is what we had, though. You wouldn't do that in a white folks' neighborhood. Nope. You would wait in line because you see respect. You don't think, I ain't got to respect this black
man.
You
ask questions differently. You're like,
come on now.
Hey, I was wondering, what's this place?
This is really nice.
It's a nice establishment. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Very nice. We need this. We crazy as hell. And you have to laugh because it's just where we are.
So we can keep talking. If you got time to keep talking, let's keep talking. Is that a little bit of time?
I got a little time.
Because what I was going to ask you, and we never got to it, is those first-time entrepreneurs. No, let's sidestep. It's going to help a first-time entrepreneur. When I met you, you told me to go watch The Breakfast Club.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Oh, man. Let's talk on that.
And so, again, I got...
Tell her the interview. Say the interview.
Interview. I've sent it to you. Because I left you that day, and I told you, I called, he said, we got to watch The Breakfast Club interview. I don't know, we just got to watch it.
What was your view? But I never got a chance. What was your view when I said, what was your view of it? Because I don't want to sound like the wise man, the sage.
You were.
But tell me what was your view.
So everybody came back okay. And it was, you said, watch the long version.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm just Googling Dame Dash, Breakfast Club. But I wasn't a Breakfast Club listener. I always just listen to other stuff and listen to books in the car. Morning. And so I was like, okay. And so I was driving down in the car, and I'm like, whoa. And so, I loved every bit of it.
Was it serious, Shane?
It was. And just the whole, and you said it here. I'm hustling for my last name, not my first name. That's, he said the same thing.
Same thing, man.
You're right.
My dude, man.
You watch the unpacking of entrepreneurship.
It broke down layers. See, we can make it sound real cute and real... Oh, and so universal, but he breaking it down from a point of view of somebody who's done it, mm-hmm. who know the numbers, mm-hmm. who's operational. And I said, I want to know how she feels. That interview made me say, that's why I decided to come to Cleveland.
And you watch him unpack, he pushes back every
excuse
and everything that we hear. Yeah,
come on now.
But I like my job. I'm sure you do, but you don't own it. Yeah, people say
come
it all
on,
the time.
Man.
And so you all those escape routes that
I'm glad
hear,
you like that. I'm glad you
Yeah. Did. Like every and my friends call I send it to them, I got in the car, I'm driving.
Yeah.
And they're texting me as I'm driving. So when I got back here, I still had 10 minutes to finish. And my phone's blowing up. Did you hear that part? I'm about that part.
For real? Was it like that?
I saw their social media being posted. I'm hustling for my last name. Y'all watch. Yeah. So for me, the same thing. And you said that. I will tell you to go read the book. I will tell you to go watch this thing. But you'll know the impact because you're going to come back to me with it. Right?
If not,
I would just watch it. Did you ever watch that? Mm-hmm. But you were we're going to talk about it.
No, but I saw your passion. I knew immediately because that interview... He articulated what we all felt and what I felt, but I was never on a platform for someone to say. See, and I didn't have, let's be real, no matter what y'all say about Dame, Dame ain't backed by corporations.
Yeah.
So he's showing you this is the business. This is the business. So watch what you say about me because I do this. You don't do this. So what I loved about it was it took away, like, you're empowered as an entrepreneur. Don't let people make you feel like you're not empowered and you don't know what you're talking about. And you know what's on the paper. You know what's money coming in. But, oh, you're going to talk crazy because you have a bunch of people who speak on your business. That's why my man's like, why are you speaking on my business? You don't. And now, when I was little, we used to say, you don't count somebody else's money. You just don't. Like, what are you doing counting somebody else's money?
Yeah.
Get your own money. Why are you trying to tell? He ain't making no money. Mm-hmm. He ain't doing it. All that old extra when it has to be. I love that interview because, and we was in Chicago at the time, and I had already been in Cleveland, but I was going back and forth. I was still opening up. I was fixing some stuff in the old restaurant. And me and my guys was talking. I said, you chase it, man. Wasn't that shit was crazy. Because I said, that brother taught a business class at Harvard University.
A master class
in business. So you can understand it. So you want and man, I myself, Dame is just a solid dude to me. So, and I know everybody say Jay-Z. Well, Jay-Z's an artist. He was an artist, this and that. But it shows you. Here's a dude who's been in it, doing it, and is pushing his vision. But here we go with the negative. But he ain't this because we like pop. That's why I said we like the glitzy, the popular,
right.
The person who look like they doing real well.
And it's only on because it's entertainment. Like, we'll love the entertainment story. Like, the LeBron got all this money. Yeah. Like we celebrating with LeBron, but LeBron ain't write me a check. I love LeBron, but he ain't never wrote me a check. But Dame's story was like, I got car dealerships. I own this. So it was the grittiness. Number one, it was diversification.
Come on now.
But then number two, it was, because they talk about Jay. They both got money. They both, probably for most listeners, they both got more money than most of us have. So it don't matter what team I'm on. And like, why does it got to be a team?
And, but you see, you broke that up in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because you want the drama. Right. You want the drama. Negroes are like, dude, why are you asking me? Now, and Dame handled it so well because it was like, yo, that's how you deal with haters. Mm-hmm. Because, and what did he do at the end of it? After I dealt with the haters, now I'm educating you, and now Angela Yee has a smoothie shop. Didn't have one after Jack.
Yeah.
What's the name? Writing all the books.
Yep.
DJ Envy was invested with Angela Yee on a smoothie book. See, that's why when I say that, I say, be careful, because sometimes, and I'm maybe because of how I grew up and the people I've been around, I'm not confrontational, but we're gonna nip this in the bud. Let's deal with this.
And I'm not gonna let you off. And that was the thing. He could have easily just let that be, like, well, you don't get me, and went on with the next question. But he showed he was invested in it because he wasn't gonna let him walk away
from it. I'm not gonna let you do
that. And many times we don't. Like, I got folks now, like, I'm just like, okay, whatever. Like, I understand you're not gonna see my vision, and it's not worth me even pouring into.
Right.
But he didn't do that. So he saw something there to say, let me make sure, like, I have this platform. Let's not get this confused with anything.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because he could have easily walked away at any point and let them just be like,
you know what?
Yeah.
Or you were name calling. Yeah. Now I'm educating you in a firm way. I'm letting you, I'm taking you to school now.
And you saw the discomfort.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, the cringing, like, my son, I have stock in the company. Do you own this? Like, when he started doing that, I'm like,
the discomfort of comfortable niggas.
When he said, like, how you gonna have some man call your son call some man boss? Like, at that point, I'm like, ooh, he like. That was like.
But that has to be real. See, that goes back to what we just said 30 minutes ago. That's how real it has to be to how you look at it. And if that's where you are, fine. But respect the game. Respect the hustle. That's where the community grows because, hey, man, I'm not bigger than you. I'm not better than you. But don't dump on it because you're not doing what I do. I'm not going to dump on your job.
Right.
But, dude, show some respect. Show the flag.
Yep.
That's what it was.
And I like that piece, especially because, number one, it spoke to the men. Like, when I heard that, I'm like, ooh, there's so many brothers I need to hear that.
Come on now.
Like, not for me, like, but I got, like,
you got it, though. You got it.
And I was still going through that experience with the person whose friends took them a ride. And I'm like, you need to hear that.
Did they get a chance to hear
it? I sent it to them, but I never heard back, so I don't think they listened.
Yeah.
And so, because, you know, if you hear that, I think I text you, like,
Yeah. You did. You was like, yo. I heard the interview. I'm like, yo, that's. Yeah. I say that to anybody because it pulls the cover from all the theoretical stuff. And because I like it, I need it cutthroat. I need it short and to the point, straight words. And we need straight words. All this old goofy bubblegum. Oh, I got a business, but you ain't got no money in the bank.
Then you don't know what. You got a hobby.
You got a hobby. You know what I mean? Like, literally, you're not going through the work. That's why I love this type of interaction.
Yeah.
Because I can speak with like-minded people, because who am I going to talk to?
Yeah.
I got my beautiful customers who I love to death who come to get a cheesesteak. They don't want to hear that.
Yeah,
my employees ain't got, they like, pay me. You better make sure, I'm going to do what you tell me to do, pay me. So when you get a chance to work with like-minded entrepreneurs who understand that, it's what it is. Like, okay.
So let me tell you, that conversation was also kind of part of the way I did the summit. Because I had met you and you're like, I don't really need to talk to people like that. I had met somebody else and it was all these people that are like, I'm doing this work for the community, for my people. And I feel like I'm the only one out here, because you and your shop in Glenville, you don't get to see that often, you know. And the other lady, she's out, you know, Vaniska over at Windermere and out. She's like, I'm just trying to pour back into East Cleveland. I'm from East Cleveland, and I want to do a good thing in East Cleveland. And I'm like, y'all two never gonna meet, because she's in her shop all the time, and you in your shop. And how many of us are out here just doing the work and not having, like, the like-minded people never connect.
That's why your forum is so important.
And so that's why I brought everybody together, because no one understands that. And there's so many people that you're like, I'm an entrepreneur too. And you're like, but you're not. Like, you know, like you're not, well, you're, yeah. I won't say you're not, but entrepreneurship has many levels.
Many levels.
And some people aren't going to grow with it. So some people are just fine being self-employed. And that's absolutely fine. You know, you do a little, you do a business, you do these things, and that's all you want. Some people are like, I'm trying to build generational wealth for my family.
Yeah.
Those are two different entrepreneurs, and they're talking two different messages.
It's a different language.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what drives you.
Yeah.
That's what drives
you. And so that idea of how do we have this conversation, because no one can talk to, like, leasing and getting a building. Like, I couldn't tell you how to get a building and open a restaurant, because I don't know that.
Right.
But I know that if I put four people together, y'all can answer each other's questions and learn from each other.
I think that's great, though. I think, and what you were saying is so important, because I think your whole mantra with Black Girl in Cleveland, I love that, because that's a ministry or a service in itself to help our people. And to see how broad-minded you are, and you're not small-minded, and you're touching people. Yo, for real. I'm serious. See, don't. And that's another thing as entrepreneurs, like you said, when we don't link up with each other, we think we're the only ones out here.
Mm-hmm.
We think nobody understands. I totally get what you're doing. And I think, and I would love, I'm so busy, but when I'm sitting here talking to you, I would love for something like that maybe next year to work on a Black Friday, where you have like a consortium of people who are talking and understand on Black Friday. But it's Black Friday not because it's the day after Thanksgiving, it's because Shayna Black. You know what I mean? And you know what I mean? It's real like that, because we have this thing with very delusional. I don't have time to worry about his business.
Right.
I can learn from him about his business or her business, but I'm focusing on what I have to do. I'm in my lane.
Right.
So that's just what it is.
But I think we got to make time to, and that's the thing, we got to make sure that we make time to learn.
Absolutely.
Because what you know today, you know,
or is networking.
Zoning thing happens. Like, I know a business that a city changed their zoning and the business didn't know. And so they weren't even zoned to be a store no more.
I know a spot like that, literally in Shaker.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. You might have told me that. And so that's the idea. You don't even
And he's
know.
Calling me like, you sure you don't want this? You sure? And it was a restaurant. I'm like, dude, that's not even zoned for.
I can't even do that.
And I'm telling him, like, dude, I was looking into it before you. Like,
you're
already
there, though.
Right. This is your building. And I'm like, yo, I was looking at that spot. I thought we'd be perfect for that side of town. And I called and said, yo, well, and they're telling me from the city what's going on. And the owner of the building didn't know, oh, that 2 years lapsed. I can't even put a restaurant there no more. There was a restaurant for 20.
Yeah. And that idea that, you know, laws change, things change, and if you're not keeping up with it.
Come on, man. That's where the political
I have like an upcoming guest, and she's talking about there's a bill in the state about de-licensing hairstylists and barbers.
I could see that.
And she's like, absolutely not. I mean, you know, anybody in the shop now can just be, I do hair. And think about all that you go through and all that you learn and mixing chemicals, especially for Black women here, like chemicals and all that and color. And so she's advocating for that. And she's like, well, nobody knows, because she just happened to be on her stuff.
So she's advocating for,
to keep the licensing.
You have to keep the license.
They're getting ready not to.
But I could see people trying to do that, but it's going to open the door up for so much other.
There's a house bill right now. And so that's her whole thing.
That's crazy.
And so people in her shop know. But if you in a different shop, you just, you know, you might not know.
We're not, but the thing about it is, like, you know, we talked about that before, Shannon. business is not personal.
No.
We have to have order to it because, okay, you might not get in a restaurant, like in my field, you may not get in a restaurant and burn and make nobody sick, but you have to know the rules. Mm-hmm. I have to, every 5 years, take my certification and learn what's changing, the nuances. So you may not know it, but what happens if something happens?
And on the consumer side, it should be a trust. If I walk into a restaurant, like I'm walking into your restaurant.
I want to see your business license.
Right. And just the fact that you are a restaurant, there should be some kind of feeling that this is an authentic restaurant.
Absolutely.
Most people don't have brick and mortars and like, I just opened a brick and mortar and we're going to cook here.
Right. Exactly. No, you have to. I think that all what these women have done, especially sisters, to do hair and like the mixing of chemicals. Now you're going to bring people in here.
Because I watched a couple of YouTube videos.
Serious? Are you? That's going to open up, but that'll open up liability with the state.
Especially for business owners.
Absolutely. Why
because
would you?
If I'm owning the hair shop, I got you in here.
Yeah, that doesn't.
You know, the state ain't going to really get hit. It's going to be the business owner.
It's going to be the business owner.
So that whole thing of, you got to constantly be learning. You can't just be like, I don't have time because I'm running my business. And so many people get busy working for their business that they're not growing their business.
Yeah. Well, you know, my man used to say in Chicago, you could be so busy working in the business that you're not working for the business.
Yeah. And so I always remind myself, like, I didn't create another job for myself.
Come on, man.
This is a really sucky. If it's a job, like, it's very underpaying and it's way too many hours.
It's way too many hours. But let me tell you something. The freedom in this is you have your creativity.
Right.
And where am I at? And I got actual facts where I'm at, where I want to be, where I want to go, where I want to take this. And what do I need to do to achieve it and keep doing it? Because, yeah, you're going to make money. You're going to, you know, increase sales, decrease costs. The only way to do business. Mm-hmm. It's the only way you can put $1 million behind some advertising that's terrible. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't bring you another million or $2 million, it wasn't a good idea.
It's got to replace the cost.
And when we were talking about that earlier, as far as people want to do this and that, when you're talking about cakes and this and that, what's the logistical part, Carl? What is the gas, the overhead? We're not talking about what you meant. What's
you
the overhead?
Buy a cake mix.
Yeah, yeah. What's that?
Like, I said, but to do your other thing, what do you need? And she's like, well, I got a home office already set up. I said, you got my laptop? No. I'm like, so you don't need anything but maybe some business cards? I said, but what about a cake? Like, you got to buy eggs. I said, so every cake you sell had money come out of it. It's not even a free $15 cake.
No, it doesn't.
You know what I mean? Because you had overhead.
It's a thing of, and it's, I'm not knocking nobody's hustle. I'm just saying, I love the fact that the order does, that secures us. If we just say, yo, I'm doing this thing right. And a lot of times it's not racial. It's just a matter we have to have order. People can get around certain things. But when you're doing business and you're taking care of people, you really want to make sure you're secure from an insurance point of view and from a licensing point of view, because you're going to be liable.
And you want to make sure. And that's why on my soapbox, it's so important that you find the right people when you first get started.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are, you know, especially with now so many Instagram coaches, or like, I'm having a session, I'm going to teach you how to run a business. If I don't know how to run a business, you sound like the god of businesses because you know more than me. But just as a teacher.
Yeah, their business is getting money from you.
Yeah, like, look how I'm making money. Yeah, because you're sitting in the room. And just as a teacher, I know that when I was teaching, I just had to be a day ahead of the students. So I may not need to understand all the concepts of the year. My first year in there, because I got a new textbook. I just need to be a couple days ahead of the students.
Right.
So, do I know anything? No. I just read the book, and now I'm going to tell you what the book says.
Right.
And that's how that whole school thing goes. And so that idea in business, I can hire you because, well, hey, you just opened a restaurant, and I want to open a restaurant, so you must know everything. And you've only been in business a year.
Wow.
So, you know, it's really about finding the right people to learn from or vetting the people.
This has been a conversation with James Muhammad of Capo Steaks. Be sure to check out our bonus episode where the conversation continues. Have any thoughts? Share them with us on our website at www.blackgirlincle.com. Click on podcast and leave your comment in our episode notes.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Black Girl in CLE, the podcast. Please check us out online at www.blackgirlincle.com and like and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Black Girl INCLE. Talk to you next time.